you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the Warriors Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, Golden State Warriors Insider, Monty Poole.
We have this thing called the Warriors Insider Podcast, and yeah. Me as the Warriors Insider of NBC Sports Bay Area, my job is to get this thing going.
Yeah.
And so last week we had Bob Myers, Warriors general manager, on.
Okay.
This week we have Kalena Azabuke, former Warriors player, Warriors analyst here at NBC Sports Bay Area. And we're going to talk NBA. We're going to talk Warriors. Just get your ideas on just what you're seeing from the league, around the league, and with the team. And I'll start here because, you know, as a guy who played with the Warriors, I mean, you're not that far removed. I mean,
right.
You're 33 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are guys in the league right now that are older than you.
True.
You know, guys.
True. I wish I was playing right now, Monty. I'll tell you that much. I wish I was.
When you watch, in specific, your career basically was derailed by injury.
Right.
You know, explain what happened.
So it was 09. It was, I think, my ninth game in Milwaukee. I'll never forget it. I go to my right. I drive to my right, jump off my left foot, and my knee just gave way.
Yeah.
And I thought someone kicked me from behind because that's what it felt like. No one even touched me. Like, the defender was close to me, like about this length from me to you, but he didn't even touch me.
Mm.
And my knee just gave way. And I had knee problems that whole season. My knee was pretty painful. We were trying to work through it, G-Bo and I and the training staff, trying to figure out ways to ease the pain. I was on some pain medication, not the hard stuff, but just like Aleve and stuff like that.
Right.
And my knee just gave way, and that was the end of it. And my kneecap ended up in my quad, like halfway up.
Gee.
And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, well, it's not supposed to be up there. That doesn't seem right. So I'm just laying there. I'm like, okay, that's done. I need to figure out how to get back now. And I go and have surgery. The surgery, I say it wasn't done right. The surgeon that did it, he did it the way he normally does it. He just sewed up the tendon. And I know this now, you're supposed to add a cadaver graft or something else to the tendon to make it stronger so there's no tension on it while it's healing.
Mm-hmm.
As it was, he just sewed it up. There's tension on my tendon while it's healing, so the tendon just stretched back up again. So
oh,
my
boy.
Kneecap ended up back up here in my quad. And this is when my contract is coming to an end. Don Nelson saw the writing on the wall. He's like, okay, let's trade this guy. I don't think he's going to be able to come back. I wasn't running when I should have been running. I was behind. So I get traded to the Knicks. I tried to throw everything at it rehab-wise. It wasn't working out. And my contract expired. I went and got it redone after a year and a half of rehab and trying to come back. And James Andrews tied a wire around the top of my kneecap, pulled it down as far as he could, couldn't get it down all the way. The wire actually broke in rehab. And I was like, okay, this is good. This is going to get him to try to come back. Signed with Dallas for 2 years. Got traded to Cleveland. I wasn't explosive. It was super painful after a while. The end of it was when Byron Scott, the coach of Cleveland, he was putting us through conditioning drills. We're doing suicides.
Ooh.
My leg just goes numb. And I couldn't tell if I was running the right way. So I asked one of my teammates after I was done. I was like, what did I look like out there? He's like, you're just dragging your left leg. It's not even picking up. So I was like, you know what, that's the end of this. I want to be able to walk when I'm 70. So I got done there. I was like, okay, that's the end. Let's go into the next thing.
Wow. Wow. So what do you, I mean, in the NBA, the start of this NBA season, we're only a week into it, or a little over a week into it. Now, when you see what's happened, in the very first night, you lose Gordon Hayward. In Boston, and Jeremy Lin goes down. I mean, when you see devastating injuries so early in the season, I mean, what's your mindset when you see that? What crosses your mind?
I feel bad, and it just kind of takes me back. It just reminds you of how fragile this whole thing is. Just like that, your career can be done, or you can have a huge hurdle that you have to overcome. And some guys are able to come back really strong. Remember, Paul George broke his leg, super gruesome injury, and he's back playing really well. He doesn't seem to be even thinking about it. And then some other guys, depending on how their body is structured or whatever the case may be, they're not able to come back for whatever reason as strong, and the rest of their career is either hampered or they're just pretty much done. So it's one of those things. You have to kind of put basketball in its place where it belongs, and you kind of got to be thinking about career after basketball. What are you going to do after basketball while attacking rehab like you're going to come back full strength no matter what? You kind of have to have that mentality. You can't be thinking, okay, this is over.
Right.
You have to be thinking, okay, I'm going to attack this, and I'm coming back super strong. But you need to be smart, even when you're healthy and
right.
playing. That's why they have the team awareness meetings and talking about taking care of your money and doing all these things, because you never know how long it's going to last. A lot of these guys are just thinking, I'm going to play forever. I'm going to play, and they don't have any other plan. But it's good to have some kind of plan afterwards, because you can't play basketball forever, even if you have a super long career.
When you look at a team like Boston, you know Boston's not going to go very far,
yeah.
even if Lynn is healthy. But if you look at a team like Boston,
mm-hmm.
who really laid out this past summer,
yeah.
they brought in not only Gordon Hayward, they brought in also Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie.
You know, they brought in one of the Morris twins. I mean, so they beefed up their lineup. I mean,
yeah.
they lost Avery Bradley, and they lost something, but they also they got two stars.
Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, how good can they be now?
Honestly, when they made the Kyrie Irving trade and they lost Avery Bradley and Jay Crowder, I was like, they're going to be worse defensively and better offensively. So they're probably going to be just as good as they were last year. That's kind of what I was thinking,
mm-hmm.
which was really good. Remember, they finished ahead of Cleveland.
They had the best record, yeah.
But no one was going, they're going to beat Cleveland
right.
in the playoffs.
Right.
Like, Cleveland was just, okay, yeah, we're the 2 seed. We're still going to beat you in the playoffs. We're going to be the finals anyway. So that's kind of how I think it'll be this year. They may end up number 2, number 1. It doesn't really matter. I think Cleveland's going to end up in the finals just because they have LeBron James. Got Derrick Rose injured. Maybe there's more of a chance that the Boston Celtics would have been able to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in the playoffs. But now that Gordon Hayward's down,
yeah.
it's not as big of a possibility anymore to me. But I think Kyrie Irving is wanting to prove some people wrong. He wants to be more of a point guard, wants to be more of a playmaker. He obviously can score with the best of them. We just talked about Al Horford. They still got Marcus Smart, who's a pit bull down there. So they got a really good team. But I still see the Cleveland Cavaliers head and shoulders over everybody in the East. The Wizards are really good, too. They'll make some noise with Bradley Beal and John Wall. But it's Cleveland all the way, I think.
When you look at – I mean, this is still about injuries, but – you know, the Spurs.
Yeah.
Tony Parker, you know, busted a quad.
Yeah.
And
Kawhi Leonard was.
Yeah, they hope Tony Parker's back by mid-season.
Right.
Kawhi Leonard is still in street clothes. They don't know when he'll be back. How good can the Spurs be without those two guys?
Not very good at all. Yeah. And LaMarcus Aldridge hasn't shown me that he can really carry the load there. For me, LaMarcus has been a failed experiment with the San Antonio Spurs. He's nothing close to what he was with the Blazers. They were hoping he would be better than what he was with the Blazers. I don't think it's worked out. I think Kawhi Leonard is their everything there. He does everything for them on both sides of the floor. I saw a clip of him walking up a plane the other day, one step at a time, super gingerly. I'm like, is it worse than they're even leading on?
Mm-hmm,
like, what is
mm-hmm.
up with this quad? So hopefully for them, he comes back strong. Hopefully Tony Parker can get back. Ginobili still old, but he's got a lot to offer.
He still
knows
makes
how to
stuff
play.
Happen, man.
Super savvy player. So they need him to try to go back in time and see if he can score more, put more of a load on his shoulders. But they need Kawhi Leonard, or they're not even going to be top 5 in
yeah.
the West to me.
I think they're going to struggle too, because to me, for most of their great years, Tony Parker was a great player.
Right, exactly.
And he would break down defenses single-handedly
yeah.
sometimes.
Right.
You know, he'd penetrate and dish off or do what he had to do. But he was able to destroy defenses.
Right.
And it made life easier for Tim and all the guys who were around him from early on even till the last couple of years. But he started to slow down.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's even realistic to expect him to be the player he once was.
Yeah.
If and when he does return this season.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think they're due for a fall. I mean, they've been great for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
So it's okay if they do fall. Another guy I'm curious about, Jabari Parker. And he's been out, and he's not back yet.
Right.
They hope he's back sometime in the next couple of months, but they don't know yet.
Yeah.
Milwaukee is a really good defensive team. And talking to people over the course of the last year, around the league, they made it pretty clear that the perception is that when Jabari Parker's on the court, they're a much worse defensive team. Mm. That his presence hurts their defense. That wow. that last year they actually took off when he got hurt because the team came together and the defense got tighter. And then when they got Chris Middleton back, who was their best shooter, I think, that they actually became a really good team. Now, what do you see Milwaukee? What do you like not like about that team?
Well, what I like about him is Antetokounmpo. I think he is a freak. But Jabari Parker, honestly, with his injury, I'd be interested to see exactly why he isn't back yet or why he isn't as far along as he should be. Maybe there's something interesting there. But, yeah, he isn't an amazing defensive player. And I'm not sure if he gives the kind of effort you'd like to see someone give on the defensive end, especially for a guy with his athleticism and his body type. Like, he should be a pretty versatile defender. At his size and his athleticism, he should be able to guard twos, threes, and fours, really. So that's a problem. And with a young guy like that, if he hasn't kind of gotten it into his head that he needs to give effort on the defensive end, he can be a two-way player, it's a little worrisome. But for him, he just needs to focus on getting back healthy.
Right.
And they love him offensively. He's a super versatile player offensively, really athletic when he's healthy. When he gets back, they should be good. But Chris Middleton is a really good player. Really, in the East, though, to me, it's the Cleveland Cavaliers, then maybe Boston, then you got the Wizards, Toronto. Toronto, to me, really didn't do anything to get much better.
No.
They got Ibaka there. They got their two guards. Then maybe you have Milwaukee in there.
Yeah.
So they're kind of in the middle.
Five there.
Right. They're kind of in the middle where it's like, okay, we're kind of in no man's land right now.
I think
they're
a shooter short.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
I mean, Parker there or not, they need another shooter. Middleton is their only shooter, really. And you need two shooters in today's NBA, at least two shooters out there. So I think that's part of their problem. But
I agree.
We got a team around here with three shooters.
It's incredible.
And you look at Steph, and you look at Clay, and you look at Kevin. One of the popular games we've been playing around here in the past couple of months, actually, is, you know, how many games will the Warriors win this year? You know, people go from 62 to 73 and 74. When you look at this team, not potential, because we know how many games they probably could win if they were going for strictly how many games they could win.
Right.
We know they're playing for the second season.
One seed.
What do you see happening with this team in terms of
that's the thing. They're,
victory total?
They're playing for the one seed. I think if they were playing for the regular season and to get as many wins as possible, forget about the postseason, they may win like 75 games or something like that. Like, if they really wanted to win that many games, but that's not their focus. And remember what happened when they got to 73. Steve Kerr obviously is saying, well, I'm not going to do that again, because who knows if it affected our playoff run. Mm-hmm. But we didn't win it that year. We had some injuries. Bogut, Steph. Obviously, Steph's with a freak injury. But people are always going to somehow, or some people are always going to connect it back to going for 73 there. And Steve Kerr is going to just play it safe. We're going to go for that number one seed. Whatever that number one seed number is, whatever that number of wins is, that's what we'll go for. If it's 65, they're good with 65, and then maybe they shut it down, but try to keep guys in a nice rhythm, play people here and there, maybe get a few more wins after that, and they're good to go. So whatever that number one seed number of wins is, if it's 69, 70, whatever that number is, they'll be fine with that. I think if they wanted to, though, they could get like 75, 76 easily.
You look at teams that have retooled around them. I mean, Houston has retooled. Houston. I mean, you bring in Chris Paul, who also is hurt right now.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be out for at least a couple of weeks. Oklahoma City, they had a major retooling there. Yeah. You know, you bring in Paul George, then you bring in Carmelo Anthony to play with Russell Westbrook. Either one of these things, I don't think OKC is going to be as good as they could be. I think they're a team that I don't think they'll be as great as the sum of their parts.
Okay.
You know, I think they have three transcendent scores.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's going to come together. When you see that, what do you see there?
I think it makes the league more interesting, the fact that all these teams have kind of retooled and trying to gang up. Carmelo Anthony, Paul George, Russell Westbrook. First of all, Paul George can fit into any team, I think. He's a two-way player. Offensively, he's really good. He can do a lot of things offensively. Good shooter, can drive it, mid-range game, all that stuff. I like him on any team. Carmelo, if they get the Carmelo from the Olympics, that efficient Carmelo, spot-up shooter, doesn't have to have a ton of ISOs, doesn't dribble as much, super efficient Carmelo. They need that Carmelo. and OKC. If they get that one, I think it could work out okay for them. Then Russell Westbrook has to be maybe a limited version of last season. A lot of assists, make plays for everybody, get to the basket.
He had big numbers in his first game.
He did. He really did. Yeah. Did he have a triple double?
He did.
He had a triple double. And Carmelo and Paul George played well too, but they were playing the Knicks. So I want to see them play. I want to see them play a really good team. And I want to see what they're like in the fourth quarter. Because remember how Russell Westbrook, in the fourth quarter, he kind of turns back into this crazy shot turnover machine. That's how he's been in the past. So that's one thing that makes players not as excited to play with Russell Westbrook if that's how they feel. So he needs to get better there and make better decisions. Can they trust him to make good basketball plays when it's winning time? And I still think they're a shooter short as well. They got Patterson, but I think they need, like, a spot-up shooter, a specialist to kind of go with those three scores they have there. And then they'd be a really good team. And their depth is still a question for
me. Right,
right. Off the bench, I don't really see anyone that I'm really concerned about if I'm playing against
them. If there were a player like, you know, last year, Cleveland went out and got Kyle Korver.
Exactly.
They thought, okay, you know, we need a guy like that.
Right.
If there were a guy like that's available,
right,
you know, he might be able to fit into a team like that where they can spread the floor a little bit better.
I agree with that, yeah.
Now, you as someone who was with the Warriors, you also have kind of a, you know, I was talking to Bob Myers last week, and Bob was saying that, he grew up a Warriors fan and talked about how, for him, how surreal it felt for the Warriors to be winning championships. When you go back to when you were with the Warriors, and Bob pointed this out. Bob said that the only guys that really left from the days when they weren't doing so well are Steph Curry and Eric Housen. he goes, almost everybody else in the building has come along in the last 6 years. You know, and so, but you saw Steph come into the league.
I did.
And tell me what you saw when you first saw Steph come into the league.
I saw a really humble kid that's still really humble, that had a lot of confidence in himself on the court, but was still trying to figure out, is this stuff I was doing in college going to work in the pros? Am I going to be able to do these video game dribble moves here in the pros and get my shot off as easily as I did in college? And he would work on that stuff in practice, and he would start doing it just gradually in the game. Not as much as he does now, but he would try it here, try it there. Okay, okay, that worked. Okay, I might be able to do that again. Try it again. Oh, okay, okay. And he just got more and more confident doing it in the game. He kept working on it in practice from day one, but his confidence in the game just grew and grew to the point where now he's just a monster, and he knows he can do whatever he wants to on the court at any time. And his handle is something he really worked hard on. And obviously in the recent years, he's brought technology into it. He's got wonderful trainers. But he's a guy that has really worked hard on his game. People see what he does on the court, and they think, oh, this guy is just super talented. I can never be like that. But he worked so hard on the fundamentals, his balance, his footwork, sprinting into a jumper, stopping on a dime, and not having his momentum keep taking him towards the sideline. Just little things like that to where he makes it look so easy now, but that's just repetitions in practice. And he was doing that early on, and I think his confidence just grew on the court. But he's always one of those guys that, kind of like Michael Jordan, he's just got that mentality, I can do anything I want to on the court. I can be super aggressive. I can be myself. He's got that freedom. He's willing to take shots that no one else takes, the tough shots. And those are things that come with being a guy like Steph Curry. He's that talented, and he's worked that hard in his game, and his confidence is that high to where he's willing to take those shots that no one else is willing to take, and he's going to make them more than most people make them.
When he first came into the league, there was a question as to whether he was a point guard or just a small two guard.
Right, right.
You know, like, really everybody's like, well, he's such a great shooter.
Yeah.
He has to be a two guard, but he's not big enough to be a two guard.
Exactly.
So kind of what do we do with him? And I remember Don Nelson saying from day one that he's going to be a point guard.
Yeah.
He said that, you know, some of the same things people are saying about Steph Curry, they said about Steve Nash.
Yeah.
He said, and I think Steph Curry can be as good as Steve Nash and maybe even better than Steve Nash because of his shot-making ability.
Yeah.
Did you see him as a one or a two? I mean, when you...
I originally saw him as a two just because I looked in college and he's making all these jumpers and scoring all over everybody. I think the thing that kind of caught people off guard and maybe caught me off guard a little bit was how good a passer he was. I don't think people realized how good a passer he was in college because that wasn't something that was on display as much.
Everybody's still looking at his shooting.
Right, the highlight films, it's just all his shooting, making these crazy shots at Davidson. No one was showing his amazing passes, but The guy is an amazing passer, has a great vision, and has a great feel for the game. But he'll try some Pete Maravich type stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, he is a guy that has so much confidence in not just his ability to shoot the ball, but his ability to try any kind of pass. And we've talked about the Warriors and their ability and the tendency to turn it over at times. I think that's why, because as a team, they've taken on his mentality.
Right.
We can do any kind of pass we want. We can try any kind of Harlem Globetrotter pass we want because we have that kind of skill in the team, and that's going to breed some turnovers every now and then, but it's also going to breed some amazing highlights.
Yeah.
And Steph Curry is the reason why. So that's one of the things I think that caught people off guard and that has made people realize this guy is a point guard because he has the passing skills of a point guard.
Did you see him blowing up the way he has, though?
I knew he was going to be a star. I wasn't sure. I can say that I thought he was going to be a superstar the way he is now. I don't know if I could say I saw this, but I saw his feel for the game. I saw his handle, and I saw his ability to shoot the ball. I just wasn't sure that it would get to this level where the guy is a mega super, like a global superstar. Like, I don't know if anyone could say
right.
that, yeah, I saw this happening for sure. As soon as he got in the league.
But it's coming, huh?
Yeah, because all of the, everybody was saying he's undersized, he's not really quick enough.
He's not strong enough.
He's not strong enough. Yeah. He's not athletic enough. So there's no way anyone can say, yeah, I went against all those people and I saw him as a global superstar. But he is a global superstar. And honestly, now I can say it's not surprising.
Right.
I'm not surprised. I couldn't call it back then, but I'm not surprised it's happened the way it is now.
Are you surprised that the Warriors have gone the way they've gone these past few years based on the way things were when you were there?
Yes and no, because of the way things were when I was there. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a little surprised just because it was so different. The culture was so different. And that's one thing. It's business, too. One of the most important things is always the culture and the people there. And when you have good people, you invest in them, you have a chance to be a good business and make a lot of money in just the business world. And it's the same thing with sports. And they brought in the right people, starting with Joe Lacob, Bob Myers, all these people. There's amazing synergy from top to bottom now. And they went after players with good character, not just skilled, talented players. And it started with a guy like Steph Curry. Obviously, Bob Myers kind of lucked out there because he inherited Steph. But they did it with the draft. And Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Harrison Barnes when he was here. All these guys are really good character guys. There's no real bad apples there. And Draymond Green is kind of the wild card, but even he is a really good dude. And he's just super feisty, and he's energetic, and that's what makes him so good. And they need a guy like that. Everybody, every team needs like a Dennis Rodman or someone like that.
Every
that's
kind of
that's unpredictable. That
yeah,
can
you,
scare
you
the
guy
team.
Who can, you can need a guy who can kind of stir the waters.
Exactly.
You know,
Draymond's
and,
that guy.
Yeah, you know, who can kind of, you know, Draymond could go up to any of his teammates and get in their face.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
I mean, and it's
keep
funny.
Them accountable.
Draymond and Andre both, you know, they say the same things.
Yeah.
They say it differently.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Draymond is in your face with his.
Exactly.
Andre's really subtle.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He'll let you know what he means.
Right.
And what you should do. Give
right.
you advice. But Draymond's going to be like, you know, he's
yeah.
going to be in your mug letting you know
in
no
leadership.
Uncertain terms. You
yeah.
know, you won't be able to misunderstand what he means.
Yeah. They're both effective, though.
Yeah. So you ever in your own mind think, man, how much fun it would have been to play with these guys?
Yes. All the time. Yeah, this team would have been so much fun to play with. One of the main reasons is because of the unselfishness.
Yeah.
And to play with this team, you have to be unselfish or you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. And I think Nick Young will learn, all these new guys will learn, that everybody's going to touch the ball and get good shots when you move the ball and play the right way. You don't come in the game looking to score and looking for your points and trying to make sure you put your imprint in the game by scoring the ball. Come in, first of all, you play defense. And then you may get rewarded on the other side. If you move the ball, it's going to be reciprocated. Someone's going to move the ball back to you, and you're going to be the open guy from time to time. So that's the way this team plays, and that's the right way to play basketball, and that's a fun way to play basketball.
Best player you ever saw?
Best player I ever saw? Wow.
Live.
Well, I saw Michael Jordan play, so I wasn't
at, on. At what stage of his career?
I was at the game where it was in the Georgia Dome, and I think it was the record. Yeah, it was the record for most, the highest attendance in the NBA in
okay.
NBA history, and that was when Jordan was at the fifth. Is that the fifth championship or the sixth? I think it was the last one.
Okay.
It was the last. It was the sixth championship.
We're getting into
that was the last.
The 90s.
Yeah, that was his last year with the Bulls, and it was the most amazing thing I ever said. Every time this dude shot a free throw, the place would just light up. Like I couldn't understand how he could focus. Like, it's nothing like it, nothing like today.
Flash bulbs and flash cameras?
People taking pictures.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Like, there wasn't anywhere in the crowd where there was no light. It was just like the whole place, as soon as he would do that, the whole place would light up.
Wow.
And it was wet every single time. I was like, this dude must be like just used to this, because there is no way you can concentrate if that is the first time that happens to you. Mm-hmm. You're going to airball it every single time. But it was the most amazing thing I ever saw. And he played well, over 30 points. It was against the Hawks, obviously. Scottie Pippen wasn't playing at the time. But that was just the most amazing thing I ever saw. And the way people reacted to him, it's just incredible.
Best player you ever played with?
Played with? Baron Davis.
I was going to say, I think you might say that because you played with Baron and Steph at two totally different stages of their careers.
Yeah.
Steph was just coming in.
Best player at the time I ever played with.
Yeah.
Obviously, Steph Curry's at another level now.
Right.
He was a rookie when I came.
Right.
Baron Davis was a monster when he was with the Warriors. And my first year with the team, I got there January 1st. And he immediately took me under his wing. And I learned so much from watching him play, the way he thought the game. First of all, his mind was crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, he was, you know, he's just the way he thinks is crazy. But his feel for the game, his passing ability, his big shot making ability, the way he played in the playoffs that season, first against Dallas, he was a monster. Then Utah, he had some big games in that series too. The dunk over Kirilenko. We're at his house watching it after the game. He's just like, did I do that? That's crazy. But the dude had, like, when he was playing with Charlotte, bunnies, crazy bunnies.
Yeah.
So, he was the best.
When you look at a guy like Baron, and, you know, he came to the Warriors, and there was like a little bit of, you know, there were some questions about whether his image was right, you know, whether he was, you know, whether he wanted to play, how much he loved to play, and whether he was a malcontent, as they say, so forth.
Right, right.
He came in and became the leader of this team.
Right.
Pretty quickly. I mean, he came in the door with a certain amount of credibility that most of the guys on that team did not have.
Yeah.
And so when he comes in, it's basically his locker room to kind of get guys together. And I know when you're the best player on the team, you get certain perks that come with that. And Baron got those perks.
He
got those perks. But when you look at a guy like Baron, guy like Steph, a guy like Russell Westbrook now, a guy who is the leader of his team, in your mind, do they deserve that? That latitude to kind of, you know, get maybe a little bit more than their teammates?
I think there's certain players you allow more freedom
because
you can trust them more.
Yeah.
Like Steph is one of those guys, you tell him, hey, just do what you do out there. You got all the freedom. You take a shot when you feel like you take a shot. Make the pass when you feel like you should make the pass, because you know he has that high basketball IQ, and you know he's innately unselfish. So his unselfishness isn't going to make him, on most of the time, make the wrong basketball play.
Right.
So if you're Steve Kerr, you're like, hey, just take the shot when you feel like you need to take a shot and do what you do. So I think there's certain guys that you give that freedom to because you know you can trust them more.
Last thing I have to ask you, and I know this is something that, you know, you think about from time to time, is, you know, there are a lot of guys in the NBA that came from Kentucky.
Yeah.
You're a Kentucky guy.
Okay.
Give me your all Kentucky starting lineup.
Gotcha. Going John Wall at the point. I'll put Eric Bledsoe at the two. He plays point guard too, but we're lacking at three. So I'm going Devin Booker at the three.
Ooh.
He plays two, but
yeah.
And then I'm going Carl Anthony Towns, and I'm going Anthony Davis, and then
No, stop right there. Stop right there. So,
I'm bringing DeMarcus.
I don't want to hear it. Okay, Anthony Davis, Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
You're just going two bigs.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're going to play Booker and Bledsoe and Johnny Wall.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm assuming you have, like, a second five. Or at least, you know.
I got DeMarcus Cousins coming off the bench. That's all we really need to know.
Really?
Yeah.
He's your sixth man.
Yeah, I'm just going to tell him it's your world, bro. I'm going to take all these other guys out.
Yeah, but you ain't starting him. Is he going to believe that?
Yeah.
Come on. Now, if you're coaching that
team. Those other five, though, he feels like he's good, but you're starting him in front of Carl Anthony Towns? You would start him in front of Carl Anthony Towns or Anthony Davis?
I wouldn't want to.
Exactly. but he scares you enough to start.
Well, I mean, you know, you may have to do something like that to keep him engaged. You wouldn't worry about that.
He's going to have to sacrifice for the team. He's going to have to sacrifice. He's going to have to learn.
Okay.
Maybe that's the only way to get to him. Like, Boogie everything
Cousins.
Else.
Boogie Cousins sacrifice for the team.
Yeah, yeah. That's
something he learned in Kentucky.
Well, yeah, yes. If I'm because his coach, guys, I'm going to try.
You guys did some of that in Kentucky because there were so many different players.
It's what's best for the
team. High talent. Yeah.
It's what's best for the team. I'm going to tell him. I'm going to try to sell him on. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But that's the way we got to go.
All right. You all heard that, right? Boogie Cousins, sixth man.
Yes.
For Clint Azubuike.
Yes, sir.
All right. Warriors Insider Podcast for this week. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, brother.
Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Appreciate
all right.
you having me.
Warriors Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.